Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. All right. Hey, thank you for tuning in to the podcast today. This is the Grace for This City podcast. I'm your host, Justin. Hey, we're helping you turn your city upside down. How are we doing that? Where we're giving you scripture, motivation, and strategy so you can get out there and get some stuff done for your King, King Jesus, that is. Hallelujah. And you know, he's recruiting you right now. And here's what he's saying. Get off the couch and get in the game, friend. Hallelujah. I need you is what he's saying. I want you is what the King is saying. I need you and I want you. Hallelujah. You say, well, he lacks for nothing. Well, if you're not involved, he's lacking you. So you know what? Respond. Respond to him. Hallelujah. Say, here I am. Take my life and do something significant with it. And listen, friend, he'll do that very thing. You know what? L. Justin here was a nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know what? I was in a dead-end trajectory. Hallelujah. Lost without him. Hopeless. Praise the Lord. But you know what? He got a hold of my heart. And I let him get a hold of my heart. You know, the Holy Spirit will work with you. He'll woo you. He'll draw you. He'll convict you. And if you'll yield to it, he'll clean you up. He'll change you. He'll rearrange you. You'll have a brand new life. You'll think different. You'll feel different. You'll be different in him. Hallelujah. Don't reject him, friend. I don't know where you're listening at, but don't reject him. Yield to him right now and say, Lord, I give you my life. I'm lost without you. I'm dead without you. I need you. Take me, save me, deliver me right now. Give me a brand new heart. I'll serve you. I'll follow you wherever you go. I call you my Lord. I call you my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let somebody know. Call me, 870-741-9099. Let us know you prayed that prayer. Or call somebody that you know. You know of that church. Call that church. Get involved in that church. Hallelujah. Come on, the Lord's recruiting you, and he wants you right now. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for tuning in. And let me know sometime where you're listening to the podcast. Send us an email, hello@gracecitychurch.tv. That's hello@gracecitychurch.tv. Let us know where you're getting the podcast at. It's just of interest to us to know where in the nations, hallelujah, that the podcast is getting to. And if we can help you in any way, we would be glad to do so. Hey, let's jump into the podcast today. And I want to talk about understanding the times and seasons. Now, listen, this is for us. It is for us. And we're going to drill down into this. Several weeks ago at the church, I pastor a church in Arkansas, Grace City Church. Look us up, gracecitychurch.tv. And I was in this message, and we were talking about vision. And it was kind of like a message that we're kind of using to kick our year off. It's been several weeks ago. But in that message, I remember as we were looking at the word vision, in particularly provision, or Jesus, you know, our Heavenly Father being the provider. Well, the basic meaning of those words, you know, they're in the family of words, but the basic meaning of those words is that he's able to see ahead. That's pro. So ahead or beyond, okay, or into the future. Pro and then vision, of course, sight. And so he has covenanted with us to be our provision. Listen, while he will take care of our needs, our physical, emotional, he'll even take care of our spiritual needs, but also our material needs. That's where I was trying to go. While he will do that, you know, checks in the mail, all that, whatever, partners, finances coming in, resources coming in. I mean, we're experiencing that. Hallelujah. Release your faith for that, that God will supply you. That's 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, that you'll be abundantly supplied for every good work. Release your faith for that, friend, especially if you're in the ministry. Get your faith on that. Hallelujah. Don't listen to any of the negative Nancys, right, or the sour Sallys, okay? Get your faith on that. Believe you've got things to do, and you need the finances, you need the resources, you need the partners, you need the manpower to get it done. Don't be ashamed of releasing your faith for that. While that is included in the idea of provision and provider, really the bigger revelation of what the word means, the bigger meaning behind that word is that he said, I'll covenant with you, I'll go into the future. Remember, he establishes the end from the beginning, meaning he lays out a thing all the way to the end destination. He's gone all the way to the end of a thing. He's already been into your future and has established it in the heavenlies. It may not be established on the earth yet, but it's established in the heavenlies. Then he comes all the way back to you, and he partners with you and says, I'll lead you and I'll guide you. Where is he leading and guiding? To the end destination, to the place in the future that he's already been and he's already established. That is literally the working of provider or provision. He's gone ahead, he has seen ahead, and now he's come back to you, and he's going to lead you forward. So he's gone into the future. Listen, this is amazing. This is for us. Yes, he will provide for your needs. Yes, he will take care of your material needs, food, clothing, housing, vehicles, buildings, lands, equipment, whatever. Yes, 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 and double yes. But we also need to press into the working of knowledge of things to come. Now, let's jump into this. Let's just go. We're already here. Let's just go. Hallelujah. We need to release our faith for a greater manifestation and revelation of the spirit of seeing and knowing. Okay, so discernment is working in there. The spirit of seeing, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Was it John? All three chapters, John 14, 15, 16. Well, four chapters, John chapter 17. But in there, he said that I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And what is Holy Spirit going to do? Holy Spirit is going to tell you things to come. I think it's the Amplified Bible says that the Holy Spirit will tell you things of the future, or will reveal the future to you. Or will tell you future things, tell you of future things. Okay, so there's an increase in this. There's an increase available to us to have understanding of the times and knowledge of what we must do. All right, let's just jump in there. I was trying to find my jump off point. That is in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. It says, from the tribe of Issachar, which were part of David's mighty men, there were 200 leaders with their relatives. These men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. Now, I'm going to pull out some words there, and for clarity, and you know, to go along with what we're talking about here. Not going to damage the context, but I'm just going to pull a couple words out here. Listen to this. These understood the times and knew the course. Okay, so let's take Issachar out and the particular tribes people there, and let's put it in our time and what the Lord is saying to us, that this is available to us. Who are these? Well, it is people who have a close relationship and fellowship with Holy Ghost, who are operating in, come on, covenantal provision. What are these? Well, it is people, you and me, come on, who understand the times and know the course we should take. We know the times and we know the course that we should take. Now, all this is not because of a standalone ability that we have. It's all because of relationship with Holy Spirit. If you have relationship with Holy Spirit, then Holy Spirit is going to do what he's been covenanted to do to you. Jesus said he'll take of what is mine and he will declare it or reveal it to you. He will tell you of future things to come. By the way, let me say this. Now, I think I've been saying this now for several weeks, and particularly coming through this election season, because there was such a spirit of divination going on. But listen, there's only one source for knowledge of the future. Isaiah 46 says, only I can tell you the future before it happens. And then you say, well, why is there business for divination? Why is soothsaying such a lucrative business? Well, you know, that's the irony of it, right? It's big psychics, divination, sorcery, soothsaying, diviners, all that kind of stuff. It's big business. I don't know. Maybe it's even multi-billion dollar business globally. I have no idea. I've never been to any of that garbage. But listen, it's big business. Why? Because people want to know the future. People want to have the tactical advantage. People want to know, what do I need to do today to get set up for whatever you want to call it, success or whatever, tomorrow. People want to know today what they need to do that's going to give them the advantage in tomorrow. Listen, friend, there's only one place you can get that knowledge. Why in the world are people running around after horoscopes and tarot cards and psychics and mediums and all this kind of it's garbage. It is demonic garbage. Listen, you are wasting your money. Nobody, the Bible says so, nobody has knowledge of the future except the Lord. Now, here's how Holy Spirit works. John tells us this, that everything that the Father has been given to Jesus. Jesus has authorized Holy Ghost to take of that knowledge, to take of those things and reveal it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us, oh, I love this, that Holy Spirit is searching out all of the things of God. There is no depth that Holy Spirit has not, or will not at least, explore and find out what's there. There's only Father has only granted that access to one person. It's the person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. So listen, divination is big business because the devil works in deception. But there is no demon in hell. Come on, even Satan himself does not know tomorrow. Now, he can make projections. He's a good forecaster in that sense. He's a pattern reader. And some people are so consistent in their patterns, good and bad, that he can read you like an open book. In fact, the devil knows some people better than they know themselves. They're caught up in all kinds of garbage. They're delusional. They're blinded. He can read their patterns. Some people literally have willed over themselves to the devil, and so he's just leading them around like a dog on a leash. But he doesn't know the future. He can make projections. Come on, he can forecast a thing, but he has no literal working knowledge of what the future holds. Now, there's the law of seed time and harvest. If you sow a seed, you can have, you know, a pretty decent, what's the word I'm thinking of here? You can be pretty confident that you know what the future is going to be like based on the seed, right? Because the destiny is in the seed. Judgment is in every seed. So you kind of have an idea. If you sow a corn seed, you kind of know you're going to have a corn crop here in a few days. Now, outside of that, there's no knowledge of the future. It's no intimate knowledge of the future. You can sow a seed today, and the devil has no idea if a storm's going to come up tomorrow or whatever and wipe out that seed. He has no idea what decision you're going to make, wise or stupid, that's going to affect that. What I'm saying is, though, there are laws that, when in place, you can make pretty good projections, but only the Lord knows what's happening tomorrow. Remember what happened in Daniel, and the king had a dream. And he called in all the diviners, the soothsayers, the sorcerers, all the witchcraft function. And he said, tell me my dream and the meaning of it. And you know what they said? There is nobody. Now, listen, these guys, as far as the demonic operation, witchcraft, soothsaying, divining, all that, these were the best of the best, okay? These were the best of the best in the known time, in the known world. And the king says, tell me what my dream was. And I mean, the best psychics, the best mediums, the best sorcerers said this: nobody has that knowledge. That's like in Daniel chapter 2. If you go a little further down, when Daniel gets involved, right, and then the king says, hey, I'm going to kill all of y'all because you won't tell me what my dream is, you know. And then they said this, they said, well, tell us what your dream is and then we'll give you the meaning. Right. Well, that's half the battle, right? And the king, for whatever reason, was wise to that. And he said, if you can't tell me my dream, then I'm going to have you killed and your whole household too. Well, finally, Daniel gets involved. Okay. And Daniel says this. He said, and I'm going to paraphrase, he said, there is a God that knows all mysteries. And Daniel said, give me some time. Let me go inquire of Heavenly Father, the Almighty, the Lord God, creator of the universe and all living things. Let me go inquire of him and I'll get back to you. Well, you know the end of the story if you know the story. Daniel got the knowledge of the dream that he had and the interpretation. Listen, friend, I'm telling you, don't buy in to wasting your money or chasing after these finely crafted. I mean, they are well-produced projections, but don't be chasing after these things, hoping and a wishing that somebody's going to tell you the future to give you the advantage today. Only God knows the future, friend. And if you go to a demon, if you go to a demonic source, if you go to, you know, if you start inquiring of any other place other than God, listen, they'll give you a projection, but I'm telling you, it's going to hurt you, it's going to harm you, and it might end up killing you. And if you give that demonic realm authority to manipulate you, they will navigate you to their false concluded end. They'll navigate you to their false conclusion. They will lead you by the nose like a pig with a ring in its nose. They'll lead you to a false conclusion and prediction. Don't do it, friend. Don't do it. Stay away from that garbage. Now, listen, you need to humble yourself like Daniel did and like the king did. You need to humble yourself beneath the mighty hand of God Almighty, and you need to submit yourself to him. And if you want to know the future, listen, he will covenant himself to you. He will give you Holy Ghost, and Holy Ghost will minister to you things to come. Hallelujah. Now, Daniel got a hold of this. And because Daniel got a hold of it, it said this, let me find it here, in Daniel, where's it at here? I got to find it. It's in these notes here. Right here in Daniel chapter 1, verse 17, God gave them knowledge. Now, we're talking about Meshach and Abednego. Let's see. I just forgot their names. Hallelujah, the Bible stories. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. By the way, that wasn't their Hebrew names. That was their Egyptian names. But this verse is referring to those four young men that God had given them knowledge, supernatural knowledge, in what? In literature and in wisdom. And in particularly, Daniel had understanding in visions and dreams. Okay? And then in verse 20, in all matters of wisdom and understanding, about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers. Okay, by the way, we got to include the enchanters, the sorcerers, the diviners in that phrasing there. Listen, the king found these guys, there was something on them, something in them, that they were 10 times that of the best possible otherworldly information, available knowledge and wisdom. Daniel and the boys who were righteous, who had covenant with the Almighty, they were 10 times better than these guys of the world. Listen, that's for us. This is what I'm saying. The Lord has something for us. Now, you know, this isn't a race. We're not comparing ourselves against others, you know, or I want to be 8 times better, or I want to be 12 times better, whatever. I'm just saying that because of what God covenanted to them, it caused these men, even these young men, to excel far beyond. Listen, this is where the church should be. I'm telling you, the church, believers, covenant folk, children of the Almighty, sons of God, should be in an advanced position concerning wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the times, and knowledge and understanding of what needs to be done. Listen, I just read a couple verses to you from the New Testament where Holy Spirit is our tactical advantage. You want a leg up, so to speak. You want to have the advantage tomorrow. Well, then you need to have relationship with Holy Ghost today. Holy Ghost, what he's supposed to do, what he's covenanted to do, is to tell you things to come. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for this. Listen, let this work in us. Let this work in us. Come on, let it work in you. Let it get big in you. Let this grow in you. And allow Holy Ghost to begin to minister to you how you need to navigate your business, how you need to navigate your employees, how you need to navigate your ministry. How are you going to set up your ministry for this year? Allow Holy Ghost to minister that to you. Why? Because he knows the future. And he's leading you, come on, to still waters. Come on, he's leading you to what? The green pastures. He's leading you to the place where you want for nothing. How is he doing that? Because he has knowledge of the future. He has knowledge of God's perfect plan for you. He has knowledge of the book in heaven where God's written down all your days. David saw that book in Psalms 139 in verse 16. You can look that up, but David saw the book, and in that book were all of his days, every single one of his days were written down in that book. Holy Ghost has access to that book. He has knowledge of what God has already preordained for you. He has knowledge of what God has already preappointed for you. He sees God's appointment book for you, and Holy Ghost is going to help you meet all your appointments. Holy Spirit is going to help you be on time, exactly where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing according to the plan of God. Holy Spirit has been covenanted to you as a gift to make sure that you don't miss your appointments this year in 2021. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Oh, thank you, Lord. All right, so we know that Daniel exemplified this. Now, this is Old Testament, friend. We got Holy Ghost on the inside of us. Daniel didn't have Holy Ghost on the inside of him. God anointed him for this, but I'm saying you have the glory of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord on the inside of you. We're anointed for this. Okay, we need to press into this in the name of Jesus. This will help you turn your cities upside down. Why? Because you're going to have knowledge. Now, listen, I'm not saying that every night you're going to have a download about everything that's going to happen tomorrow. That's not technically what I'm saying, but I am saying that Holy Ghost is going to minister to you where you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to be doing. He's going to reveal to you things to come so that you will be in the posture. You will be in the right place at the right time. You won't be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Or you're not even going to be at the right place at the wrong time. Everything's going to be right because you're going to be led by Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, all that, I really wanted to get to this point, and this will help us, okay? Because when you have knowledge of the time and the season, when you are aware, like Daniel, look at this. Daniel said this. He said in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. Daniel's writing this. He said, I, Daniel, understood. What did he understand? He understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. All right, so there was a prophetic word. Jeremiah had a prophetic word concerning Israel. Daniel recognized that they had come upon the revelation, come on, of the prescribed end that was revealed by the Lord to Jeremiah. Jeremiah spoke it out. Okay, it was written down. Daniel, now this is not just logical. This is not just natural alone. There was something working in Daniel, hallelujah, where he understood what God was saying. And he was able to recognize that they have come upon the time and the season prescribed by the prophetic word of the Lord. Now listen, if you're listening and you have any kind of honor and reverence for prophetic unction, you need to know this, that prophetic words are connected to a timeline. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about Chronos, like tick-tock of a watch, but they're connected to a time and a season. All right, there's the seed of the word, Mark 4, and it produces 30, 60, 100 fold, depending upon the conditions of the heart, nobility, the pureness, etc., whether or not certain things are choking it out. You know, some people aren't actualizing or living into their prophetic words because the cares of the world and the deceit of riches is choking it out. They're not in the right place at the right time because they're burdened by thorns and thistles and cares of the world and deceit of riches and all that kind of stuff. Some people may live into part, but they don't go on into fullness. Okay, there's various scenarios here. But when you receive a prophetic word, you don't just sit it on a shelf alone. You know, there's some contemplation. There's some, you know, seeking further clarity, praying into it. Timothy talked about taking the prophetic words, or Paul wrote to Timothy and was talking about taking prophetic words and using them, fighting the warfare with them, battling, laboring for their realization, for their manifestation. All right. When we put this in sequence here with what happened with Daniel, is that there needs to be an understanding of the time to reap. Remember, Ecclesiastes says there's a time to plant and a time to uproot, meaning there's a time for things to be sown. This is Kairos. You can scatter seed if you want and hit and miss. Not saying that's bad, but if you're led in your sowing, Holy Spirit's working with you on exact moments, the absolute perfect conditions to have a seed sown. Now, Holy Spirit will also do this, because then we cast the care, right? We don't care. We're not anxious for anything. And we cast the care. We humble ourselves and we cast care. We don't carry burdens. We cast the care. We're led of the Lord. We're led of the Lord. Why do we do a thing? Because we're led. Then we cast the care. Now, what do? We are in fellowship with Holy Ghost, waiting for what? Leading. We don't need a reason to do or not to do. We need a leading to do or not to do. So I'm not filling my mind space or my heart space with a whole bunch of reasons, naturally motivated reasons, logical, reasonable things to conclude either way if something spiritual, you know what I'm saying? So I'm led. So I'm led to sow. Listen, when you receive a prophetic word, when the seed is sown, hallelujah, then what? Well, then you're led to what? You're led to reap. Notice what's happening in Daniel here. He has unction. He's being led by the Holy Ghost. Daniel, hey, Daniel, it's time. Time for what? Time to begin to reach into the heavenlies, to the spirit place, and reap of the prophetic word. Now, if you sow a seed in a whole different context here, you sow a seed, what do? You cast the care of it. You thank the Lord. The seed's in the ground. It's non-corruptible. You get it in the ground. It's going to do what it's supposed to do based on the agency. Then, like Mark 4, you're going to go to sleep at night. You're going to wake up the next day, go about your business, go to sleep the next night. What have you done? You cast the care of the seed. You trust the leading. You know the seed is incorruptible. And you trust the place where it's sown. I'm not saying you don't do any, you know, tending. Make sure nothing's going to sabotage it, okay? But we've got covenantal protections, Malachi chapter 3, concerning those things. So I cast the care. And then what Holy Spirit says, hey, look, it's time to reap. So Daniel did this by way of Holy Ghost. He had knowledge, supernatural knowledge, working in him. Hallelujah. Time to reap. So what do? By faith, you get in and you begin to posture yourself. Now, here's what Daniel said. Very, 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 very important. How much time? All right, we got a little bit of time left. Daniel 9:3. Notice what he did when he connected the dots. Praise God for Holy Ghost helping us. There was a prophetic word sown. The time of the harvest of that prophetic word had come upon. Daniel had understanding about the time and the season. There was a time now to reap of that word. There was a time now to reach in and activate, shift the prophetic word into the prophetic timeline. What did he do? Daniel 9:3. Don't miss this. Then, watch this. Then I set my face toward the Lord God. Now I'm going to read this from the new King James. Listen. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplication. Now let me read it to you in what the Hebrew says. The King Jimmy. Thank you, Jimmy. Did a great job. Okay. But that's not what the original Hebrew says. The original Hebrew says it like this. I set my face towards the Lord to make request of a or the prayer. Now listen, when he saw that the word of the prophet had come upon its intended season, what did he do? He set himself now for the prayer. He set himself for a prayer to do what? To set in motion the prophetic word. Now, let me back up just a little bit here since we made it to that point. Let me back up. The Bible says that we don't know how to pray as we ought. It's not that we don't know how to pray. We don't know how to pray as we ought. Now, that's true because of this reason here. We don't know how to pray as we ought because we don't know the future. Now, the Bible says in Romans that Holy Spirit, what does he do? Holy Spirit will take hold together with us, and he will minister or supply the prayer to us. This is because Holy Spirit has knowledge of God's perfect will. That's what the rest of Romans chapter 8 said. He prays or supplies the prayer. He takes hold together with us in intercession. After he supplies the prayer, he's supplying the prayer. Why? Because he's the one who has the knowledge of God's perfect will. Holy Spirit has knowledge of God's perfect will. Therefore, his partnership with us, the paraclete, his assistance to us is because he has knowledge of God's will. He begins to supply the intercession to us. Then when he supplies the intercession to us, then he'll take hold together with us and begin to pray God's will. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord, for Holy Ghost. Now, again, it's not that we don't know how to pray. We don't know how to pray as we ought because we don't have knowledge of the future. You and I might not have the prayer for a specific situation. For example, let's go all the way back. God said, "Let there be light." Holy Spirit, what was Holy Spirit doing? Holy Spirit was hovering. He was hovering over the face of the waters, of the void, of the tohu vabohu. What was he doing? Holy Spirit was waiting on the Lord. Waiting on what? The word of the Lord. Waiting on what? The knowledge of the will of the Lord. Once the word that was the key for the time was released, Holy Spirit instantly exploded on the scenes with signs, wonders, and demonstration. Once God's will is known, he calls those things that be not as though they are. Once his will is known, Holy Spirit what? Grabs that, takes hold of the knowledge of God's will. And what does he do? He supplies to us what? That knowledge, that information, that revelation, that provision. And then he takes hold together with us concerning God's will, and then we go into a place of intercession as we are giving birth to the knowledge of God's will. Holy Spirit is the power. He's the dynamo. He's the dunamis. He's that exploding force of power that causes a thing to take on substance. Come on, somebody. Take upon itself flesh. Remember what the angel told Mary. Mary's like, "How is this possible? I've not known a man." The angel said, "Well, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you." Well, that's what he does when he takes hold together with us. He's supplying. Come on. He's supplying. What is he supplying? He's supplying the knowledge of God's will. He's supplying, come on, the seed of the word. He's supplying the dunamis power necessary, which literally dunamis is miracle working power. Then he takes hold together with us in intercession as we're giving birth to the thing that God desires in the earth. Hallelujah. So again, the prayer is the key, or the words are the keys. They become the match, so to speak, that strikes the fuse to release explosive power of Holy Spirit upon the scene and into the situation. Back to what Daniel did. So Daniel understood the word of the Lord. He understood that we'd come upon a time and a season, but because he didn't know how to pray as he ought, it doesn't mean that he didn't know how to pray. My goodness, he prayed every day, three times a day. It's not that he didn't know how to pray. He didn't know how to pray as he ought. When he came upon the time and the season, he set himself or postured himself for what? The knowledge now, the prayer. What do I do now? I see the time and the season. Now, what do we do? Hallelujah. So he partnered with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit revealed next steps. Holy Spirit brought the knowledge of what was next, what was to come. And then what happened? Holy Spirit worked with supplying the prayer to Daniel so that things could be shifted into motion. Hallelujah. I hope you're catching what I'm saying. In the name of Jesus, I believe you are. Okay, let's see here. Let's go back to Romans 8. Let me just make sure I'm clear on a couple things. So Romans 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. What is our weakness? Our inability to know the mind of God. Holy Spirit helps in that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that's the answer to the weakness. Our weakness is our inability to know the mind of God. But 1 Corinthians 2, 11 through 12 tells us that we haven't been given the spirit of the world, but we have been given what? The spirit that is from God. Why have we been given that spirit? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says that we would know the things that God has planned for us. So exactly what Holy Spirit does is the revealer of things to come. He is ministering to us, decreeing, declaring, revealing to us the things that God has planned, pre-planned, prepared for us. All right? For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Or we could say this, we don't know what prayer to offer concerning this situation because we have no knowledge of the future. But the Spirit himself makes, now you could write there in your Bible, supplies. Holy Spirit makes or supplies what? Intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, now he, Holy Spirit, who searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes or supplies intercession to. King Jimmy says for, we could say to. Holy Spirit supplies intercession to the saints according to the will of God. Intercession, or the prayer concerning the time and season to shift the prophetic timeline into play. This is Kairos, right? Not just Chronos, but intersection with God's perfect will. Holy Spirit is working to keep our appointments. He supplies to you and me the prayers. He supplies to you and me the intercession. He supplies. Come on, Holy Spirit is the supplier. What is he? He's the provider. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. He is the provider. He's covenanted to be our provision. What's he doing? Finding out God's will concerning you. And he supplies to you the intercession to align yourself with God's perfect will, whether this be your ministry, your business, your employees, your whatever. Hallelujah. You say, well, how come I'm not, you know, well, because we don't do this. We don't do this. And then Daniel, we know from Daniel that once he had the prayer supplied to him, what happened? The angel of the Lord immediately responded. When Daniel began to pray the prayer that was supplied, the angel of the Lord was immediately dispatched. You say, well, okay, oh, okay. Well, you know, I've not experienced that. Well, then maybe you're like those people that Jesus said who think that they're being heard because of their many words. Remember that? He said that was at Matthew 6, Matthew 7. Jesus said, don't be like those who are praying, who are using vain repetitions and many words. Well, what words? Well, they're idle words. They're faithless words. They're prayers that don't agree with God. They are words amiss, prayers amiss. Remember he said that you ask, but you have not because what? You ask amiss. All right, so what is idle? A lot of people think idle is lazy or idle is inactivity. While that can be included, idle is purposeless. There is a lot of people who are busy, but they're going to be judged idle because their busyness is not connected with any kind of purpose. Listen, there's a lot of people praying, but they don't have the prayer. They're just making stuff up. They don't know how to pray as they ought. They might be praying, but they're not praying what Holy Spirit has supplied. And so what happens? They're praying amiss, or their prayers are not connected. They're not in line. They're not aligned with the prophetic timeline and timetable. They have no understanding of the times and the seasons. They have no idea what prayer to seek for. Do you understand? Of course you do. Holy Spirit's helping us. Hallelujah. So, idle. It may be a lot of praying going on, but if it's purposeless praying, prayers that are missing the target, prayers that have no purpose, they are prayers that are not connected with the time and the season. Hallelujah. Clay Nash, a good friend of mine, powerful minister, he said this: prayers based on disinformation carry no authority. You understand what I'm trying to say here? And this is why you got to have close relationship and fellowship with the Holy Ghost. He's the only one that has knowledge of the future. Listen, if you go to another source somewhere trying to seek advantage about tomorrow, listen, friend, you're going to be caught in a trap. It's a trap every time. All right, so Daniel, he noticed the time and the season. He recognized God's prophetic timeline and timetable. Holy Ghost was working with him to say, look, you're coming upon the time of harvest. We're going to have to shift in position now to reap this thing. What did he do? He set himself to get the intercession or to get the prayer. That's Holy Spirit's job, to supply the prayer to the prayers. Holy Spirit will supply the intercession to the intercessors. And then what happens? He'll take hold together with us in groanings, in intercession, in prayers. Come on, in the words, maybe in tongues, maybe in English. He'll take hold together with us. But all this is concerning what? The knowledge of that which is to come. Now, again, when Daniel got the prayer and he began to pray the prayer, what happened? The angel of the Lord was released. Now, there was some warfare there. It was a 20-something days, 28 days, something like that. Several days here. And there was a battle in the heavenlies. Why? Because the demonic realm was trying to stop what? The entrance, come on, of God's perfect will. The demonic realm was trying to adjust. Daniel 7:25 was trying to do what? Shift or stop or hinder times and seasons shifting into play. Now, while the devil doesn't know the future, I guarantee you this, he's trying to stop every heavenly angelic encounter that he possibly can, because he knows that these heavenly ministers are carrying something significant. He may not know what it is. He may not. But he's trying to stop every heavenly angelic encounter or interaction with the earth, because he knows that many of these, if not most of them, are carrying significant spiritual things that need to be manifested in the natural realm, whether it's a word, come on, whether it's a revelation, whether it's some kind of sustenance, ministry, anointing, something. The devil's trying to stop every single one of these, because just like in Daniel's situation, when he set himself to pray concerning the time and the season, to shift the timeline into place, an angel came to help do that. The devil stopped him, and there was a battle in the heavenlies. But what did Daniel do? He didn't give up. He didn't grow weary. He didn't faint. He didn't get out of the prayer place. He stayed in that place until what? The manifestation came. Of course, we know that the angel said, hey, I was held up, but thank you for hanging in there, because boom, here we are. Let's go. It's go time. Thank you, Lord. So again, I just want to encourage you with this. As part of our par for the course, or our RMO, our modus operandi, our standard operating procedure, is that when we see God's prophetic timeline and there's knowledge and revelation that, hey, there's something, that we're to reap something or we're to sow something, there's something in God's timeline that's coming up for a Kairos opportunity here. We need to be sensitive to those things. We need to be aware of those things. Once we are in that place of awareness, then we set ourselves to go and communicate and fellowship with Holy Spirit and say, hey, I need the prayer. Give me the prayer. I need you to supply the intercession for me. Something's up. We got to shift something into play. We need to sow a thing or reap a thing now. And so Holy Spirit will give you the intercession. He'll give you the prayers concerning the perfect will of God. Then you'll go into a place of prayer for a time. I don't know how long that time is, but you're going to stay in that place until there is breakthrough, as it were. And the old timers used to say, pray through. And some of our generals in the faith, Kenneth E. Hagin in particular, would say this: you're going to stay in that place of prayer until there's a note of victory or a note of joy. If there's laughter that bubbles up, or just an overwhelming sense of victory or peace, you know, joy, then you know you've accomplished your mission. You stay in that place. You stay in that place. You stay in that place until what? Until you get through, until the manifestation comes through. There's resistance on some level, but you stay in that place. What? You stay in that place of intercession. What's Holy Spirit doing? He's taking hold together with you. He's committed, covenanted to be in there with you, interceding until this thing begins to manifest itself in the natural realm. Now, you might not see the immediate proof in the natural of the thing, but you know, by way of that note of victory or that note of joy or that bubbling up of laughter from that place of intercession, that it's in the natural realm. Hallelujah. And it's just around the corner now. It is no longer just a spiritual reality. It has taken upon itself flesh. Maybe it's in seed form flesh, but you know that seed now is going to produce after its kind shortly. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you got something out of that. I'm out of time on the podcast right now, but thank you so much for tuning in with me. Hey, listen, if we can pray with you for anything, it would be our joy and our honor. You can give us a call, 870-741-9099. Leave a message. We'll get back with you. But if you want somebody to just stand with you in prayer, whether it's physical healing or whatever, give us a call and we would love to do that. Hey, if you want to partner with the podcast and help us keep it out there and going around the world, we invite you to do that. There's several ways that you can give and be a part of that. You can text the give. If you're in the United States, you can text the give 84321 right there on your cell phone, 84321. Follow the prompts. You can go to the website anywhere in the nations, gracecitychurch.tv/give. In the drop-down menu there, click podcast. Thank you so much for anything that you might do. Or if you prefer, snail mail. If you like to put in an envelope, lick it, and stick a stamp on it, P.O. Box 7, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. Again, it's not the gift that we seek, but the fruit that abounds to your account. But even as Paul said, we thank you for your partnership, even in the beginning until now. Hallelujah. It's going all over the world, friends. Hey, until next time, be blessed.